Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Oh, I caught you moving then. Okay. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Another great day. Great to be here. It's good. I'm exceedingly excited. Joshua surprised me with that song this morning. That's my favorite one that's been beating on me all week. God's unchanging hand. Time is filled with swift transition. Please, if you don't remember nothing else, hold on to that. Listen to me now. Tomorrow is not promised. Time is filled with swift transition. Thank you, son. I appreciate that. Man, I wasn't ready. Okay. Again, my time is up. Boss man got me here. I know you say if I could just hold through them and get through it. You will. You always do. I enjoy it, though. I think we should be able to come and smile and get along and worship and feed in God together. We should. We should. I shouldn't be an obstruction for you. You shouldn't be an obstruction for me. We should be a leaning post for each other. We should find, seek, and promote the truth. That's why we're here. If I'm ever doing anything other than that, please stop. Please stop. You owe it to me. You owe it to God. You owe it to yourself to do the right thing. Please stop. I would like to thank God for allowing us to be here again. It's a huge, a tremendous opportunity. Just knowing that somebody didn't make it here. I was listening, and Tony's family called, I think it was night before last or last night, when they were saying that Johnny was in the hospital. I was thinking about, and I was trying to remember what the age, you know, when somebody gets sick or something like that, we always try to. I do anyhow. Maybe it's just me. Maybe, you know, my BB shot may be stuck. I always try to think about what the age is, you know, because you're saying you skated through that, you know, and the comparison about my life and his life, not realizing or taking or understanding that it has zero to do with his physical ability. See, God is in control of that. So I was thinking about Johnny, and I was, you know, they say he's in there with pneumonia. You know, being in the hospital ain't good, period, under no circumstances. Under no circumstances. So keep that in prayer. And I was just thinking about how blessed I am to be here, and we are to be here. And if you're on this side of the dirt, you made it. You understand? Just think about that now. If you're on this side, you made it another day, another opportunity to get it right. The leadership, it is imperative that we have it, whether you think it's good, bad, or not. One thing we can't do is survive without leadership. We need to have leadership. God put that in place for us to do that, so we need to recognize that and do what we can to help each other, that we stay focused. My church family is wonderful. It's wonderful. Thank God for it. You just don't know how big a part you hold in my life and developing and teaching my kids and my spiritual upbringing. I appreciate it. My wife is wonderful. You know, you know, one thing I've learned, being in the military, whatever the case may be, I always felt that I'm all right as long as my family is okay. So I can, you can take me out there, I'm ready to kill everything you got, shoot everything you got, do whatever I need to do. But when you start having problems at home, I can't think. That's me. That's the human in me. When I'm having problems with my family, I'm distracted. I don't know about you, but that bothers me because I care about my family. That bothers me. All right. My message for the day. My scripture, supporting scriptures, will be coming from John 10:10, 1 Corinthians 2:9, and Ephesians 3:20. John 10:10, 1 Corinthians 2:9, Ephesians 3:20. Before I read John 10:10, I have two rhetorical questions I want to ask now. Answer that to yourself, you know, just put you to think. And at the end of my, or whenever Curtis tell me to sit down, at that point, see what you answer the same. The first question, well, let me back up. Proverbs 4:7 says, in all you're getting, get an understanding. In all you're getting. I don't care what you come out with. And I, again, I know y'all get tired of hearing. I had a professor that was, listen, We can come in here to your teaching seminar all day long, and if we're talking apples and we come out talking oranges, you messed up. That's a fact. And all you're getting, get an understanding. So, with that, question number one, what is an abundant life? What is an abundant life? Question number two. Oh, I love it. It's just like being back on the platform again. Question number two. Are you living an abundant life? Now, you don't owe me that answer. That's for you. That's for you. Are you living an abundant life? So with that, when you have John 10 and 10, say amen. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for him that loveth him. 1 Corinthians. Ephesians 3 and 20. Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us. All right, with that in place and the questions in place, my title for today is Living an Abundant Life. Living an Abundant Life. I know a lot of you already know that answer. I'm slow. I got to start off with it. I always start. I'm from Willard, North Carolina. There was a whole lot of our life growing up as a youth. We went barefoot. You know, I didn't find out till I was older that you didn't have to go like that. We learned a lot of stuff as you got older. You know, we wore shorts in the briar field. I learned that day that you don't do that. You learn things. You grow. So I'm slow. You got to help me. So when I looked at this subject about abundant life, I want you to know a tremendous part of my life went up thinking when someone says abundance, I looked immediately at what the definition of abundance was and knew then that I said, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. See, the Greek definition of abundance is which means or is more than enough, beyond the measure, and a quantity that is much greater than anticipated. That's abundance. The reason why I'm going at it this way is because when we get to the end, we have, what we say, some soul searching to do. We have some soul searching to do. Let me give you a couple examples. When I was coming up, and someone said, you know, live an abundant life or abundance, I thought that meant a lot of suffering. Are you living an abundant life? And if you'd have asked me on up until recently, too long ago, I meant that man had a lot of wealth. That's what we associated abundance with. We look at abundance as being a person that had a lot. An abundance of land, an abundance of money, abundance of whatever, it was a lot. We found that. And we felt that because the Bible says live an abundant life, we automatically, with our research, tied it in to salvation. That living life abundantly means having a lot. Well, some of that is true. Some of that is true. Abundance. Listen to me. Each and every one of you are probably sitting just one miracle away from being a lotto winner. Yeah. If you look at it, one miracle away from being a lot of women. And that would be an abundance. That would be an abundance. We have let abundance and wealth so far or so deep into our life that we perpetuate the thing, the story to our kids that if you want to live the American dream, you have to have an abundance. And we put our children on the course that you got to fight, struggle, and get money, wealth, or substance to be living an abundance. True, we do. We do. And check this out. This is another one that I thought. We tell them, listen, the key to getting this money well is an education. You got to go to college. You want to be smart so you can get the most abundance. The biggest piece. The great amount. You need to get it all. I got some bad news for you. That is not what Jesus was talking about. I'm here today. That is not even close to what Jesus was talking about. Now, the amazing thing about this is that Jesus said, I come that you might have life and you may have it more abundantly. He didn't have a dime in his pocket. Wait a minute. That automatically throws our whole plan off. Curtis, that messes us up. Caleb, Joshua, I need you to go to school. I need you to get straight A's when you come out. I need you to come up with the cure for cancer. And Caleb, I need you to come up with a short stack rocket fuel, something we can sell in your pocket. You'd be the best. So we can live an abundant life. And we send him off and tell him this. I don't care what's going on with your buddy. You get your education. That you need this. Because that all goes toward that American dream. More so that you're sitting here worried that I'm not worried. You know, it used to kill me. They used to have these seminars at school and military base where they sit here and say, you should be at this point in your career. You need to be here at that point. And the only way you go, look, we're going to put you out of the army because you didn't make it. Abundant life. I had in my, and this is the truth, I know you get tired of it. In my last overseas assignments, I was in the 205th Military Intelligence Brigade. I had a responsibility of overseeing all the ground, and at that time they call them drone, they call them UAV, unmanned aviation vehicle. That's what it was. It land out there on the Audubon, they refuel it, and then they send it on over there to Kosovo. That's the one I was watching for, Kosovo. Grady, we need to, no, he didn't say Grady, it was Colonel Rapp. He said, Chief Staff, I need you to fly to Brindisi, Italy, and go synchronize two 600 kW generators, because we got a problem with the new people they sent. While I was there, the promotion list come out. Now, we had some regular pilots, and the pilots, their job was to fly reconnaissance missions. They were the same rank as me, CW3 and CW4. The United States Army said, if you don't get promoted in 5 years, you get one more look. If you don't get that, you fail to maintain growth with everybody else, and we put you out. Those aviators get promoted faster than me. Some of them boys didn't have a 10 years even. And they were CW3 and W4. The W4 is the one. I want you to hear this story because it goes to this abundance. The W4s had to make CW5 in those 4 years or he'd get put out. And the only way he saved his career is he had to be within 18 months. He had to be within 2 years of Army retirement before they let you stay in. Understand that? So here you're talking about somebody making about $90,000 a year, and he only got 10 years in his career, and he's on the line of whether he makes promotion or not. If not, he's going to lose that whole thing. That's stress. Granted, check this out. So the promotion list come out. I'm in Brindisi, Italy. I get some phone call. Chief Steph, we need you to hurry up and get back. We got a problem in the brigade. What happened? Three people. Listen to this, and this is terrible. Three CW4s drove their plane into a mountain, killed them because they thought they wasn't making the list to get promoted. They get money for that. They get the $250,000 insurance. But if they don't get promoted, they lose their whole career. They felt they wasn't going to get promoted. My point. Living life abundant. That goal that we set toward him put him in a position where he thought he didn't have no other reason to live if he didn't get promoted and celebrated with everybody else. He's not going to maintain his lifestyle. He's not going to be somebody. He got to get put out of the army. Living life abundant. I bring you that story and I tell you that to make this point with living life abundance. We have twisted up what God got. God knows what you want. God knows what you need before you even come up with it. Trust me. God did not put one nickel, dime, or education or college degree on your salvation. That ain't what's there. So when Jesus came and tell you that I want you, I come here that you might have life and have it more abundantly, that is so when that list come out and you ain't on it, you don't think about killing yourself. Living life abundantly. Living life abundantly by what Jesus standing in and what God has got for you is knowing that you don't have to worry about what the years may bring. Time is filled with swift transition. Huh? That's what that is about. Living life abundantly is knowing whatever the problem here on earth is only for a short time. That's what that's here for. Living life abundantly means that you know that he can't. Nothing, no one can separate you from the love of God. That's what that means. It don't mean I need you to go out here and make CW5 in 12 years. It don't mean that you got to be the very best person at the schoolhouse. You got to make the most money. You got to work for that. That ain't what living abundant means. It don't mean you own 5 million acres and 35 tractors. That ain't what that means. That's not what that means. That's not, we got to stop telling our kids that this is why your kids look over there at somebody else and they don't want to be anything, they want to kill themselves. We got to stop doing it. The true definition in all you're getting, get an understanding, know what abundance is. I can be happy sitting on the ditch bank barefooted at will, knowing that when this thing is over, I'm going to paradise. Wait on my turn. Living life abundant. It is crazy with the pressure that we put on these children and these kids and stuff now. It is crazy. You got families and men, husbands, wives are sitting there stressed out, tearing their marriage up, worrying about where they stand with the crowd. Do I have enough? Living abundant. So and so got this. Stressed out. I ain't gonna tell you when I was coming up, hey, man. I told Tony, we was in one officer school. When we graduated from one officer school, we started off with 100. Let me tell you about the attrition rate. We started off with 160 students. 13 graduated. 5 of them were from another class. They weren't even out. The school had 2 congressional investigations going on it then. Listen to me. They don't play with this stuff. A sergeant major, this guy had already been in longer than me. We got see, in one officer course, they go strictly off what you know. It ain't what you do, it's what you know. So if you make it to this point, you're supposed to be an expert. That's what they're saying. That's why that number drops down so low, you find out that he done fooled on all the paperwork, but when it's time to do that test, when I put you in that piece of equipment, let me see what gifts you got. So you got a sergeant major who had been in 20-some years. He's in the same class as me who's been in 10, and he's crying. Shouldn't nothing stress you out that you lose your manhood
You hear me? We do that to people. We do that. We do that. And what we do is they take that home to their family. They separate that person from what God got for and got him thinking that this don't happen. We're going to just bust open and die. That's not the case. Jesus did not intend for us to go through that. Living life abundantly. Don't get me wrong.
There's nowhere in America you can live and try to live decent without money. You got to have that. But the last thing you need to do is let money drive you. Position drive you. Status drive you. Political domination drive you. Listen to me. In all your getting, get to understand. Jesus said, I come that they may have life. Worried about whether somebody's going to repossess, the divorce lawyer going to take it, or the IRS people coming to get it, is not life. That's a joke. That's something here. Eternal life is life. Don't worry about it. You can't take it with you anyhow. Living life abundantly. So whether or not I'm able to make the house note, or do I have a house, I'm going to wake up all right tomorrow. I'm not going to consider killing myself. That's not going to happen for me, and I'm never going to tell my children, I'm never going to tell anybody, the best thing for you to do is go ahead and accept the death insurance. Get in a mindset as an option for a strategy of survival. I love my family. God knows I do. But they'll tell you, I get on their nerves because I tell them, this is what's supposed to happen if something happened to me. By the numbers, it's lined up. What's supposed to happen, what's supposed to go where. In fact, there's a copy of my will in DD2 form. I'm telling you this, down at the courthouse in Monroe. So if I fall in your yard, you will hate that stuff. They ain't got to get out of the house. Do your part. Do what you're supposed to do. So when this day comes, I take this time, my 64 years, I'm thinking about the paradise I got on the other side of the river. I'm not worried about this back on this side. I can live life abundantly, so I'm worried about my grandchildren. I don't worry about, hey, this is out here. He's going to do what he's got to do. At this point, he got to walk across the bridge himself. All I can do is tell him where the water's at. Living life abundantly. Don't get it twisted. Worshiping and serving God is not an hour and 45 minute thing. It's your life. Don't sell Jesus short. He come here and died for us. So why do we change our whole strategy about success around and let it hinge upon a material job or system or money or government? Living life abundant. I would love to have whatever it is out there, but if it don't, it don't. I'm moving on. If I can help you, I'm going to help you. If I can't, I'm gonna, look, then you got to come up with something else because I can't help you that way. That's all I got. That's it. Not robbing no banks. I'm not cocking my 357. I'm not shooting me. I'm not shooting you. That's it. We're going to have to wait it out until tomorrow. We're going to see what comes. In all your gift, get to understand. You know, I did a research paper one time when I was going in Darmstadt, Germany, going to school. I was teaching a class over there. For Big Ben Community College. I was teaching. Big Ben Community College. And I did a paper on how many presidents at that time was valedictorians of the school. Guess how many it was at that time? You're right. Zero. So it didn't make a difference how smart he was. You're not. That opened up my eyes. I said, hold it. All you had to do
that was less than your numbers.
It was a charge.
You know, I'm saying,
my point is that God puts it out there for us. We the one created our problem. All you got to do is hand it over. God know what we know. He know what we need. He know what we're supposed to have before we even ask for it. He know what we take to find. And trust me, if you ain't found, listen to me, lottery ticket, 5 degrees, double doctrine in here in the Bible, then it probably don't need it. Not enough that you need to kill yourself. Not enough that you need to send your family to hell. Not enough that you lose your salvation. Not enough. In all of your getting, get an understanding. Live life abundantly. I'm not saying problems don't come. But allow God to help you. He can't help you if you're working and trying. That ain't going with you. That's not eternal life. That's not what God got planned. So he's not going to stop what he's got going on and try to fix it so your lottery ticket hit and you won't lose your car. That ain't what he's going to do. If that's what you're looking for, or let me say it this way. What were you looking for when you come in the door in the church? If you ain't looking for salvation to save your soul, you're in the wrong place. That's what we owe you as Christians. A path, what he put here for us, what God's word got here for us. That's all we do. That's what we're supposed to direct and prop you up with. Living life abundant. Not that you ain't going to have problems, but know that that problem ain't going to last forever. Know that God has got another way. Know that that ain't required of you. Know that you don't have to give up on this world. Know it. Believe it. What does the song say? Trouble don't last always. Trouble don't last always.
I'm not going to run over my time with you. I just thought about the abundant life thing because we look at this world and we get so wrapped up in the world. Look at you. You know how the thing goes? When we teach, we say we're going to change the battle one soldier at a time. That's why when we put him out on the fire lane, we say, watch your lane. When your pop-up target come up, that's what you shoot at. Don't tell me what he got to wear. I don't want to hear. That's your target. If everybody just stay in your lane, I can get us all qualified. That's what Jesus is saying. Live life abundantly. If you just do what you're supposed to do, do your part. Be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Don't create stress for anybody. Don't do that. And know what abundance is. Don't make life hard for nobody. Husband, wife, sister, brother, don't do that. Don't do that. There's enough hell in this world without you having to create some. I love you. I know a lot of things come about. I had to step and come to some realizations myself. I really did. I thank God for allowing me the opportunity to find out before it was too late. I do. And in your salvation, nobody knows where you are but you. Nobody knows what abundance is in your mind but you. You know what it is. You know what you're dealing with. His door is open. His door. God's door. Listen to me. The dean, the IRS, the divorce lawyers, they can't fix it. They cannot get you salvation. A temporary restraining order is not salvation. Read the paper. That ain't it. God's word. Teach your children right. What's abundance? You can't go back and redo tomorrow. God is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. His arms are open. All we ask is you come now as we stand and sing.
desire.